Pamela Higgins is a research associate at the Ethel Donahue Center for Translating Research into Practice and Policy at the University of Connecticut Health Center School of Medicine. She is currently the project manager for a statewide data interoperability project focused on analyzing opportunities for change in Connecticut state policy and data collection procedures at the agency level to assist vocational rehabilitation clients obtain cross-agency services needed to work competitively and live independently. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce the principal investigator of our ConAid, the Connecticut Agency Data Exchange Project. Julie Robison is here. Both Julie and I do not have any relationships to disclose that are associated with our project. Our project is facilitating data sharing between state human service agencies in Connecticut for individuals with disabilities seeking employment. A little bit of background. We know, at least in Connecticut, and I'm sure in other states as well, that multiple state agencies provide services for people with disabilities. And there are people who are receiving services from not one, but maybe two, three agencies at the same time, but that their data systems don't coordinate. They all have different data systems. And so the goals of our project are to improve case management, cost effectiveness, and quality of services for these individuals who are concurrent consumers in these different agencies. And secondary, once we have all, we have a nice set of data on this group of people, we want to use the information for research, program evaluation, and policy guidance. So I'm going to go through the history of the project and then tell you where we are right now. We've finished through phase 8 and we're at the implementation phase. I'm going to talk about 2 through 8. Phase 1 was just we had a company come and just look at all the different data sharing agreements and legal issues, and they put a report together and share that with the group. Just to give you an idea of the timeline of how long it took to kind of go through the steps. The phase 1 was just that gathering that information was at the end of 2007. So the beginning of 2008, we started phase 2, and it took a couple of years to get to phase 8, where we started working on an implementation project with a work plan. This past January. So as you'll see, January up until present, a little bit later I'll talk about the implementation challenges and some strategic planning that we're currently doing. So once the group, there's a steering committee from three separate state agencies, actually there were 9 state agencies, but 3 really leaders. That got together and sat down and came up with these business questions to answer what kind of data would be beneficial to share with each other to help their clients, consumers, become employed. So what type of employment-related information? So they came up with these 4 questions to look at: service overlap and demographics, service utilization, the cost of services, and then additional services outside of the state agencies, and then finally supported employment services. So phases 2 through 4, where we identified the population that of overlap, and what the group decided to do, the steering committee decided to do, was to get 3 of the agencies, the Department of Developmental Services, the Bureau of Rehabilitative Services, which is in our Department of Social Services in Connecticut, and the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. So those 3 agencies decided they were going to pool some data from a 3-month period in 2007 and look at how many of their how many similar clients that they have that overlapped. And then they took a further step and looked at all of their Medicaid claims data for those concurrent clients over a two-year period, which went from July 1, 2006 to June 30, 2008. And we also were able to look at the cost and some of the services. So we used that data to analyze those four business questions. So here are the three agencies, and here's a snapshot. And the data that we're showing is during that three-month period. So BRS and DMIS had 474 concurrent clients in their two agencies. DDS and BRS had 234. DDS and DMIS had 280. And then all three had 15 during that three-month period. So a total of 1,003 concurrent consumers. So that shows you the whole picture. Under each agency, the larger number is the number of Medicaid consumers during that point in time total. And then the smaller number in the parentheses, so that would be, for example, for BRS, the 474, the 15, and the 234 added together. So we also wanted to find out how much money was the state of Connecticut paying out to these Medicaid consumers during that two-year period. Just on, they were actually able to get data on 975 of the 1,003, which is about 97%. So this is the amount of money that the state spent on that group during that two-year period, $52,356,976. So huge amount of money just on that small little group of people. So we were able to partially answer three of those business questions, and one question we were not able to answer at all because of lack of common definitions between the services in the three agencies. There was missing, incomplete, or inaccurate data. Claims data doesn't always fully reflect the service delivery. For example, billing procedures and the actual service dates were different for the same service at two different agencies. So, for example, case management services were billed once a month at one agency, but it showed up in the bill for every day at another agency, even though they were charged similar amounts. And the agency that only charged for at one point during the month, the services were still available during the whole month. It was just the way that they billed their service. So it was hard for us to really kind of compare the information. So we decided that, well, we'll step back and other than the business questions, what else did we learn from that exercise? And we learned that you can actually link data across state agencies and that that there is varying amount of information from each agency on employment, education, and cost. That was important and relevant. But we needed to get the data elements that to do a crosswalk between the agencies and in some similar definitions. And so we went on to phase five, where we thought, well, let's drill it down a little bit more and look at a subset of those 15 people who were consumers in all three agencies. And so representatives from each agency went through their files and actually got together and talked about their consumers, their concurrent consumers, and put together a chronological, like a story of what happened. So I'm going to share one of those stories with you. This is Jeff. He's a Medicaid recipient. He's receiving services from DMIS, DDS, and BRS. 25, no high school diploma. His primary services are from DDS, which is the Department of Developmental Services. Ancillary supports from DMIS, but a referral was made to BRS because he wanted to find a job. So the story goes that it took 2 months until he was actually able to become eligible at BRS. So that took, he was already eligible at DDS and DMIS, but there's no communication between them, so he had to wait a couple of months. And then it took 4 months for the agencies to actually be able to, the three, to meet together to talk about this person to help him find employment. So 6 months later, he was able to participate in a job assessment of his skills. The employer liked him, liked his work, and he was hired. But he was not able to keep the position because he didn't have long-term supports. But the agencies were communicating with each other. They didn't know that he needed the long-term supports, and so he was not able to keep the employment. So the findings are, again, we sort of pulled back and said, okay, what are the general findings from looking at all these cases? And that there is service overlap, so agencies are sometimes are doing the same thing for that one client, but they don't know it. There is a problem with the referral process. There's no one central way to have a consumer who's going to several different agencies just to have be referred and into the system at one point. They have to go through it every single time in every agency. There's little or no access to electronic data between agencies. We have no program evaluation or information about any outcomes from the programs, and there's a lack of consistency within the data to identify the characteristics of the populations that we're serving. So, you know, what are the demographics? What are the people look like who are gaining employment or aren't getting the referrals that they need? So just to kind of do like a cross-sectional look of how the programs are doing and if people are getting what they need. So this is a tool that I wanted to share, well, we wanted to share, because it was very helpful in looking at all the different issues that we came across. We kind of had these themes that were showing up. And so we took each issue and put it into this spreadsheet. So you'll see in the first column, it's the description of the issue or the opportunity. This one here is there's a service overlap among agencies. So what was the goal? We want to eliminate the redundant services. We sat around the table and we talked about, well, what's the current system like? What are the issues? And then we talked about, well, if we resolve this issue, what would be the outcomes? So the consumer would be happier, things would be running more efficiently. And then what would be two different ways to look at this from a data sharing perspective? So what would be a lightweight technology solution, and then what would be the ideal solution? And so we brought all the information to the larger group, to the steering committee, and everyone agreed that we wanted to go for the ideal technology solution. And so this is what the ideal technology solution looks like. Is that pretty? But I'm going to read those notes, because this was actually developed by a company that we subcontracted to work with us to specialize in building platforms. And so what happens is each agency pushes their data into these edge servers, these pink cylinders here. So their data stays in there, and it stays private. But once another agency would like to see if maybe their client is receiving services at another agency, they go into the central exchange through a master person index. I'm just going to read this here. The basic concept of the health information exchange is that each participating agency will be responsible for registering its clients and data for those clients within the health information exchange. So they'll store their own client data and their own database services, that server. That way, they don't have to change anything. They can keep their own system. And a lot of them are now updating and changing their systems, and they're all different. So this is a solution so that nobody has to change anything. And apparently, according to our colleagues at SMC, this is not hard to do. So we said, okay, this is great. What we did was we presented this to the commissioners of the state agencies and said, okay, this is what we've come up with. What do you think? they were on board, very supportive. So the next step was, well, we have to go and we have to do the requirements and definitions, design the platform and all the, you know, the screenshots and all the details. And so with the goal of developing this fully interoperable system. And up to this point we had a steering committee and project management. So the project management was us at the University of Connecticut Health Center and SMC Partners. And then we had the steering committee that had representatives from all the different agencies. So some of them were directors, some of them were at different levels. So we created these three different part-time groups. They were work groups, and we met twice a month. And they had experts from each agency to talk about client services, systems, and privacy and security. So we came up with the nuts and bolts of what this was going to look like. What were the use cases? What would the actual system be? And then we had to go through all types of privacy and security, which was different at each different agency. And then project staff, just to sort of keep things going from day to day, and making sure that we were on schedule. And that was, again, us from the University of Connecticut and SMC Partners. This worked really well. I mean, we got a lot of work done in this phase. So now we're up to what we really wanted to do implementation in this past January 2011, but a lot of things happened in the state of Connecticut. And we did resolve some of them. For example, we had a new governor and three out of four new commissioners. So we needed to find out, well, is this new governor and staff, are they interested in data sharing or this concept? And they are very supportive. So that was great news. And then we had to educate the agency commissioner. So that was great. We did that. Then we didn't have a state budget. And then there was, a huge layoff in our, so we wouldn't have anybody to actually work on something new. Well, that was resolved. And we also had to go through some consent issues with the Attorney General. Should it be opt-in? Should it be opt-out? How do we look at this from, you know, at the state level, national level? So those things were resolved, and ongoing issues. We have lots going on in the state with health information exchange going on, so some really bigger projects. And so we thought, well, we might as well see how we fit in with our pilot project. We might as well see, well, if we move along and kind of work through other platforms and what other groups are doing, that it would probably position ourselves better for implementation. So that's what we're working on now. And then, of course, there's the cost of the pilot. So we need to find a funding source for that. And I don't know if this will have an impact on us, but perhaps, like right now, the state of Connecticut, 800,000 people don't have power due to the snow storm, and I haven't been there. I was there when it happened, and then I flew right out here, but I've heard from my family and other people that it's a mess, that the huge systems, these power systems, I guess, out of all of them, there's 40 of them that are destroyed throughout the state. So that's what the governor is focusing on right now, and that's actually, you know, where we are. That was our next step, was to go to the lieutenant governor and say, okay, this is what we're doing, and here's the value. And so that's just showing you how it's taken a little bit longer than we would have liked, but there's still a lot of interest in the project. So overall lessons learned. I would say if you're creating a new health information exchange initiative project, whether it's for individuals with disabilities or any population, to keep up to date with what's going on nationally and in your state, because if you're compliant with all of that, then you're more likely to be positioned for funding. Another important lesson that we learned along the way is that trust, cooperation, communication between agencies is important. And as the University of Connecticut, we, as project management, we were looked at as more, we're like a neutral, we're in the neutral zone, because we're not really going to be sharing any of the data. So we were able to, speak with each agency separately and then as a group. And I found that when I was with them, they were able to share. If they did have concerns about other agencies or maybe even, private entities that were involved, we were able to talk those things through, and I was able to reassure them. So that was important. And then we did have some agencies that kind of pulled back. They were a little bit hesitant. They saw the value, but they had competing priorities. And so it's still important to keep them in the loop, to let them know what's going on, because they may want to be involved later on, and we do want to keep the door open for that. And the final two is what we're doing now, is consider how our systems platform fits into the larger context of what's going on in our state. We really feel like that's an important next step for us. And I already mentioned, being a neutral outsider has I think helped foster, commitment and an ongoing relationship between the agencies. So I think just kind of overall, if starting a data interoperability initiative, pursuing high-level buy-in at the agency and commissioner level has served us very well, and we continue to check in on that every now and then, either through a meeting or through direct contact from the people on our steering committee with their commissioners. I think also assessing existing data sharing initiatives within your state, that they may be doing something similar. You may be able to learn from each other. That has also served us well. Conducting the pilot data analysis, I think being able to show what data you can actually share, and also the cost, how much the potential can be saved by eliminating redundant services, and then being able at some point to look at programs and find out where there's inefficiencies, and conducting the case file review to kind of bring it down to a personal level. So how does it affect an individual, so that people can relate to that? So we'd like to acknowledge the funders for this project. And this is our contact information, if anybody has any questions.
You said that 52 million was a big number, and you have 1,000 folks, I think. That's about 17,000 a year. But I'm having trouble figuring out if that really is a big number, because I don't know what that referent group is. So the other folks served by those programs, what are their expenditures, so we can kind of figure out. And I'm particularly interested in the 15, what their expenditures are.
Oh, I do have that in my folder. I think that it was about almost 2 million out of those 15. And of that 52 million, 32 million of it is Medicaid waivers, if that means. That's like supported services, so that could be, for example, case management, it could be like home services.
So if you're spending 2 million and 15 people and their needs are still not met, how do you sell that? I guess it's
I think that's how you sell it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a big selling point, even though it seems like a small number of people. But that was just over a three-month period. So, we haven't looked at other time frames, but just for an example.
And the 15, are they really severe in terms of their disabilities? I was also curious. If you're getting more services from all the organizations,
right,
is that
right.
Something about your severity?
Expenditure
would speak to that also, I think. But
I'm just
I think. No, yeah, I mean, they were, yes, a lot, they were utilizing a lot of different services.
And just because of the nature of what agencies, what are the three agencies that are working together on this? One is developmental disability, and one is mental health. And so these are people, all people with developmental disabilities, those 15, with mental health problems, who are trying to then use the
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
I think that's it.